All right, good news. It looks like the projector is back. So you don't have to just stare at me. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. So this is week 4 of 4 on Hosea. I thought we might get to chapter 3, but look like there's no chance. So we'll get into a little bit of chapter 2. And then hopefully sometime down the road, we can continue. All right, so let's just start by reading the passage, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Hosea chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 5 to verse 13. I'll read it for us. It says, "For their mother has played the whore. She who conceived them has acted shamefully, for she said, 'I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, I will hedge up her way with thorns. I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her paths. She shall pursue her lovers, but not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me then than now. She did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, the oil, and who lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. Therefore, I will take back my grain in its time and my wine in its season. I will take away my wool and my flax, which were to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall rescue her out of my hand. I will put an end to all her mirth, her feast, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her appointed feasts. I will lay waste her vines and her figs, of which she said, 'These are my wages, which my lovers have given me.' I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall devour them." Verse 13, "And I will punish her for the feast days of the Baals, when she burned offerings to them and adorned herself with a ring and jewelry and went after her lovers and forgot me," declares the Lord. Gracious God, we thank you for this time that you've given to us. Father, as we spend the next few minutes again looking at the prophecy of Hosea, Father, fill us with your thoughts. Fill us with insights, fill us more so even with applications that we can take into our life and things that we can change. We thank you again. It's in Christ's name we pray. All right, so for the last few weeks, this is week 4 of 4, we've been looking through Hosea. And we worked our way through chapter 1, and we started into chapter 2. And today, hopefully, we'll get at least halfway or so through chapter 2. Now, we've been looking the last few weeks at two characters, in the picture of two characters, and that's Hosea and Gomer. And specifically, what we've been looking at is we've been looking at Hosea in the context of Gomer's unfaithfulness. So we've been looking at Gomer's unfaithfulness to Hosea, and we've been looking at Hosea's reaction to it. Now, just as a side note, do you know what the name Gomer means? It's interesting to note that in the actual original Hebrew, the name Gomer means complete or perfect. And how ironic that actually is, that Gomer's name means complete or perfect, because the Gomer that we've seen thus far is anything but complete or perfect. He's far from it. Now, while we've been looking at Hosea and Gomer, because again, we've said the phrase over and over that Hosea is an active prophecy. We've been looking at Hosea and Gomer, but more so, we've really been considering God and Israel. And specifically, what we've been considering is how Israel had defected from God, and how in turn, God reacted to his unfaithful people. So again, we're looking at Hosea and Gomer, but the real story that we're talking about is God and Israel. And just as a recap, in week 1, we looked at Hosea's marriage to Gomer, and we said that that marriage It represents the indictment of God against Israel because of their persistent sin against him. We remember what that sin was. It was really spiritual adultery or the idolatry against God. And then in week two, we talk through the children that were born into this situation. And we talked about how the children really represented God's judgment on Israel's sin. Do you remember the names that we talked about? Because these names are critical. The names of the children. The first name of the first child was Jezreel, and that name means that God scatters. And we talked about how because of sin and because of spiritual adultery against God, God would allow his people, Israel, to be scattered. That the northern kingdom of Israel would allow to be scattered or to be exiled at the hands of the conquerors, Assyria. And then we talked about the second child, Lo Ruhuma, meaning no mercy or not love. And what we talked about there is that God's people who had been characterized all along by God's kindness and God's love, but because they left him for other false gods, we see that God says, you will no longer receive my mercy. And then the third child's name was Lo Ami, meaning not mine, not my people. And this went back to God's language to his people Israel over and over, where he would say to them, I will be your God and you will be my people. But now, because of their wickedness, because of their idolatry, because of the picture of spiritual adultery that they're going through, what he's saying to them is not that. He's not no longer saying, I will be your God and you will be my people, but he's saying, I am not, I am to you. Not mine, not my people. So these are the names of children that are brought into the situation that really communicate to us the judgment that God was bringing to his people Israel because of the spiritual adultery against him. With some really intense stuff that God was speaking through this act of prophecy to his people. Even in the midst of all this, right, we talked about how in many ways this is all depressing because we're looking at the sins and the persistent sin and the repeat sin and the people who can't get out of sin. We're talking about the judgment that God is bringing upon that sin. But even amidst that, we see that even though that there is judgment for sin, we see over and over in Hosea, we see a God that is pursuing Israel. And we see that in the picture of Hosea, who even though that he has a wandering wife, even though that his wife is persistent in her sin, we see Hosea reaching out after his wife. Yes, some of them are in the form of rebukes. Yes, some of them are in the form of conversations, but he reaches out to his wife, his wandering wife, to reconcile her and to bring her back to himself. Now in chapter 2, we started looking a couple of weeks ago at the discipline of God, Israel. We had the indictment of Israel, we had the judgments upon Israel, but then we see that God, because Israel continued to be persistent in their sin, that God had to bring them back, and he would do so through discipline. And you'll remember that 2 weeks ago, we started looking at the discipline of God in the context of three real lenses, and that was Gomer, the prodigal son, and Israel. And we discussed that sometimes God expresses his love towards his people by allowing them to go into a difficult place. Again, not for their harm, not for their pain, but sometimes God allows his people to go into a difficult place because that will allow them to repent to him. That will allow them to come back to him. Because Hosea, he couldn't allow Gomer to continue to prosper in her infidelity to him as she continued to go after her lovers. In the same way, God could not continue to enable Israel to prosper as a nation as they were going after the wicked and false gods, Baal. And so what does God do? God, through the mode of discipline, he puts what in scripture is called the wall of thorn bushes, or a hedge of thorns. And he builds this wall of thorn bushes and this hedge of thorns around the nation of Israel so that they will be in a difficult place. Why? We talked about this again. Not to bring harm to them, not that they would be in pain, but he allows them to enter this difficult place so that ultimately they will return to him. So let's look at the passage for today, and we'll get into how he does that, right? So verse 7 of chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 6, and we're going to look at part of verse 7. And I'm just going to read it again for us. Again, chapter 2, verse 6, and the first part of verse 7. It says, therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. He will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but she will not find them. So form in your mind, there's this image. There's this image of a hedge of thorns or a wall of thorn bushes that's being built around Gomer. And this hedge of thorns, the purpose of it is, again, it's to wall Gomer in so that she can no longer experience these quote-unquote so-called blessings that she's experiencing from her lovers. Now, why is Hosea doing this? What is the end goal of building this wall of thorn bushes or this hedge of thorns around Gomer? The end goal is that Hosea is trying to cut off the lifeline. Hosea is trying to cut off the support. But why would he do that? He's doing that so that Gomer can actually see from whence her blessings are actually coming. And her blessings are not coming from her lovers. Who are the blessings coming from? Hosea. And in the terms of Israel, from God. Now, this is a biblical truth. It's a biblical truth for Israel, and it's a biblical truth for you and I, for individuals and families that live in this time. And this is the principle behind it. Persistent sin leads to discipline. I'll read it again. Persistent sin leads to discipline. And we can look at it from the picture of the hedge of thorns. This hedge of thorns around Israel, we know what it was, right? So this hedge of thorns was basically the nation of Israel that was, the nation of Assyria that was camped on the border of Israel, which would a few years later, they would sweep in and they would conquer, right? So God is saying to Israel, you think it's your idols, you think it's your false gods that are blessing you, but if I take my hand of blessing off and this hedge of thorns grows up, then you're going to find out, Israel, where this blessing is coming from. And this blessing is not coming from the idols, and this blessing is not coming from Baal. This blessing is coming from God. This is God's discipline. We talked about it a few weeks ago. It's purposeful. Oftentimes it's painful, but in the end, God's discipline shows that he is merciful. You see, Gomer's heart the whole time has been consumed by sin. She can't see anything but sin. And she runs after sin. She chases after sin. She's hungry for sin. And so what Hosea has to do is Hosea has to wall her in. Hosea has to put her in a box, because she is consumed by sin. And what happens, you'll see it in the portion as we read it again, this hedge of thorns basically isolates Gomer to the point that the fulfillment that she was finding outside of her marriage, this fulfillment is now gone. She's walled in. She's hollow. She's empty-handed. She has nowhere to turn. Now keep in mind, you might look at this and you might say, that's quite mean of Hosea. You might say that when you look at this passage, that he's walling her in, that he's basically closing her in. You might think that it's quite mean of Hosea, but in fact, this was all to spare Gomer from further sin. It was all to turn her back to Hosea. Israel, at the same time, Israel in the same way had failed to acknowledge God. They did not see God any longer as their provider, and they ran and they chased after the idols, specifically Baal. They hungered for sin. And what's going to be really sad at the end of this is what we'll see is, despite Hosea's attempts, and despite God's attempts, we're going to see that Gomer and Israel still would not repent and still would not turn back. Why? Because their minds and their hearts were entrapped and enslaved by sin's breath. And I think that's really something that needs to stick out to us, and something that I think God wants us to see is the ugliness and the grip of sin. Not just in this passage, and not in the context of Hosea and Gomer and Israel, but I think God wants us to see that in the context of ourselves. We look at the culture around us and we see all the things happening. And if we can't see the ugliness and the grip of sin, we're missing something. Violence and crime and divisions and racial hatred and divorce and murder and gender confusion and social unrest all around us. And it's been worsening day by day since the fall of man in the garden. This is the biblical truth, that persistent sin leads to discipline and leads to judgment. And can we even question that God would be bringing this hedge of thorns or this wall of thorn bushes even around America in these days? Now, one thing to recognize about this wall of thorn bushes or this hedge of thorns is it's not a pleasant place to be. It can never be a pleasant place to be, because God does not want his people Israel to camp in that place of difficult. He doesn't want them to camp in that place that's a difficult place. We talked last time about the prodigal son as well. And we'll remember in the story of the prodigal son, we remember that the prodigal son also found himself in a difficult place as well. Except it was not a hedge of thorns. It was not a wall of thorn bushes. It was actually a pigsty, right? So let me just read those verses to you so that you can, again, use the parallel image in your mind. So Luke 15, 13 through 16, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it for you. Luke 15, verses 13 to 16. And what we're going to think about here is how this difficult place is not a fun place. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and he set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth while living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. And he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So some key phrases from that passage. He squandered his wealth in wild living. He spent everything. He began to be in need. And I think the important one is really that fourth one. He longed to fill his stomach. Do you remember from the passage what he longed to fill his stomach with? The pods that pigs were eating. He longed to fill his stomach, but no one gave him anything. I want you to think about the contrast. I know it's been a couple of weeks since we talked about it, but think about the contrast. Think about the son as he left his father's home, right? Doesn't say a lot in the scripture portion about what the son was thinking, but we can sort of imagine what the son was thinking, right? Son was thinking, I want to get out of the authority of my father's thumb. I want to live my life like I want to live my life. I want to do what I want to do. That's what the son was thinking. He thought there's a far country out there that is much better and that offers me much more than my father's home. But look at the son today. Look at the difference in expectation that he had as he left his father's house and he went to the far country versus the reality of it. It's much different, isn't it? And this is really the progression of sin that we see. Now, there is an ugly part to sin. There is a painful part to sin. But there's also a beautiful part of God's discipline. And let's look at that quickly before we close off. The beautiful part of God's discipline. Hosea chapter 2 again in verse 7. We're just going to read the last portion of the verse. Then she will say, and this is speaking of Gomer, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than them. These are the words of Gomer in that difficult place. Once she's been walled in with this, again, wall of thorn bushes, this hedge of thorns that Gomer has, that Hosea has put in around her so that she can see from whence her blessing comes. These are Gomer's words. I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better than now. This was the purpose all along that Hosea had. This was the purpose that God had for Israel. It wasn't, again, to inflict pain on Gomer. It was to bring her back. God did not want Israel to fall to the conquerors of Assyria. He did not want to inflict pain on them. He wanted to bring them back to himself. It was God's promise to his people Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, if they will pray, if they will seek my face, if they will turn from their wicked ways, what's going to happen? It's at the end of verse. It says, and I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. This is what God's intention for them is. It was that they would repent, they would relent, they would repent, and they would turn back to him. Now, oftentimes, it's tough to make that decision because, like we said, sin is very deceptive. But it's interesting that this prodigal son, this young man in the far country, had the presence to learn a powerful lesson in that difficult place, in that pigsty that he was in. And that difficult lesson is this. It's bad here, and it's better in my father's house. He was able to learn that lesson. Luke chapter 15, verse 17, 18. Again, the story of the prodigal son, and I'm going to read this for you. Think about how he's learned the lesson. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out, and I will go back to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven, and I have sinned against you. It's almost the same words as Gomer, verse 7, isn't it? Almost the same exact words as Gomer. Gomer says in verse 7, I will go back to my husband at first, for then I was better off than now. This is the purpose of discipline. The purpose of discipline is so that the prodigal son would return to his father, so that Gomer would return to her husband, so that Israel would return to the one and the true God. Again, the problem is this. The problem is sin's grip is very bad. And oftentimes, even though that God offers a path back to himself, oftentimes sin offers an invitation, hides itself. Would be great for Eve and for every one of us if sin came with a warning that highlighted, these are the dangers of the sin that you're about to commit. These are the downstream pains and these are the downstream consequences of the sin that you're about to commit. Because it's very possible if that sin came with that warning label, maybe we wouldn't sin. But the fact is, sin often hides us off. And even though they were given the opportunity to return, what we're going to see in the rest of the passage that unfortunately we won't get to today is that Gomer and Israel continued to make compromises. Didn't stop. They continued to make compromises, and this, in fact, would lead to further judgment of God. So this is a truth from Scripture, that sin never delivers what it promises. Sin never delivers what it promises for Israel, for Gomer, and even for us. And some questions of application for us. What sin in my life currently and regularly comes between me and God? And what sinful snare is God seeking to distract me from? Now, oftentimes when we study a passage like Hosea, it's easy for us to look at the passage and say, well, I'm fine here. I'm not. participating in adultery, spiritual adultery. That sounds like a very obtuse term to me. Idolatry, I definitely don't have wooden carved objects that I bow before. I'm good. Easy to do that when you're in school, right? But if we miss the examination of ourselves under the sins that are all around us and we're right in the middle of things like anger, things like arrogance, things like bitterness, things like boasting, envy, pride, slander, murmuring, greed. If we miss examination of ourselves amongst all of those items, I think we miss what God's trying to do as we look at ourselves in the light of God's word. Again, the questions are, what sin in my life currently and regularly comes between me and my God, and what sinful snare is God seeking to extract me from? To end, we'll just boil down Hosea into one question, right? And that one question is, what did God want from Israel? What did God want from Israel? Because we went through an awful lot. And we went through judgment, and we went through harsh conversations, and we've gotten even to the point where Israel and Gomer, they've still chosen sin. But I think we just need to remind ourselves from the very beginning, what did God want from us? What he wanted was, he wanted repentance, and he wanted a committed, faithful relationship. And although the passage, although the prophecy talks about God and Israel, and we really can't place ourselves in the place of Israel because covenants and those promises are really not for us, they're for Israel. But at the same time, I think we can ask ourselves the question, is it any different for us? What does God want from us? He wants repentance, and he wants a committed and a faithful relationship. Just close with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this time, for the last few weeks where we've been allowed to dig into the prophecy of Hosea. And Father, to bring up the words and the thoughts as you sat before a nation, telling them of how you felt, because that nation was your special possession, your special people, and yet they were engaged in spiritual adultery against you. Father, we read these words, and oftentimes they're harsh, oftentimes they're painful. It's hard to read through the passages, but thank you for that you were able to give us an idea of what it feels to you when sin is in your midst, and specifically when idolatry is in your midst. Father, your scripture tells us that you are the source of all good things. But we see in the passage that Gomer, that Israel oftentimes were distracted from that. We know that oftentimes we are distracted from that as well. Father, we do pray that if there are any far countries, if there are any idols, if there are any things, false gods that are distracting us from a relationship, a committed, faithful relationship with you, Father, we ask that you give us the strength through your spirit to renounce those things, Father, and to follow after you. Father, we know the real takeaway that we can have from this passage is to look into our life and examine our life in the context of sin. Father, we all have a fallen nature within us. We all have things that distract us from who you are. But Father, we ask that you'd strengthen us in these days to be obedient and to follow you. We thank you for the grace and mercy that is extended to us. And then through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask that you'll give us your provision and his blessing as we go out from here and as we go into our work week and into our lives this week. Thank you and we praise you. It's in Christ's precious and master name.